Welcome, everybody. Today, we are having another jumpstart for Link Server 2013, Enterprise Voice Online Services with 2013. We are going to be discussing the in-depths of the two. Really, the 336 that we did was an overall general. 337 is going to be specifically voice and the inner workings of it, and then, of course, online. I'm Brian Ricks. I'm the owner, lead architect of Brightcomp Computers. I have been working with the Microsoft UC stack since, at least LCS 2003 days, slightly Exchange I am, but LCS 2003 and on, since 2005, I've been an MVP in the, which was at the time the communication server, then the Link server, or OCS, Link, blah, blah, blah. So been doing this for some time. Been doing this from an IT perspective for well over 20 years, and with me presenting today is Rui Maximo.
Hi, I'm Rui Maximo. I'm a principal writer, and I've been working with Brian for quite a while now. I'm a bit of a fashionista myself. I was inspired by Brian's hair last year, and so I figured I would grow my own as well. I hope you like it. It's fashionable. Thank you, Brian, for inspiring me.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I've been working with LCS and its predecessors for the last 10 years, since 2003. I've been the author and co-author of several books, five books on LCS. I had about 20-plus years of experience in the software industry, working in various companies, and been really involved in Link.
All righty.
Off to you.
So today we are going to be discussing, like I said, a specific in-depth look at enterprise voice, the features of voice. A lot of this may seem repetitive. The exam is an interesting exam in that it is a subset of 336. So 337 is an exam specifically about enterprise voice and then the online integration, which has made a little change, and we'll get into that later as well. But from a breakdown of what we'll be discussing, we're going to start with a brief overview of the voice architecture. Then we're going to get into the configuration of enterprise voice, potentially a demo. We're not having good luck with our demo worlds this morning, but if that all goes well, we'll have a demo on configuring it. Again, similar to what we did last time. We have a UM integration session that is slightly different within 2013 to Exchange 2013, so we'll be discussing that. Voice applications happens to deal with response groups, call park, unassigned numbers. Again, things that we've discussed before, but more in depth, and then a greater length demo into the inner workings of some items, specifically call park, again, if the demo works well, and response groups and how we get that to work. We're going to configure and deploy emergency services. That's your LIS, E911, and then PST integration. That'll end our first day of sessions. Starting the second day, we've actually got a fairly long one session broken into two sessions, and that's on 2013 and networking. Networking is a big discussion point and question for a lot of people in how much bandwidth's required, how should it be configured, what's QoS, call and mission control, all those kinds of things that wrap up into networking and Link. So we'll get that broken down into two sessions, and then again, if things work well, we'll have a call admission control or CAC demo. And the environments that we have from a demo don't really support multiple subnets, so we won't really get to see things work, but we will be able to configure things and get things to look like we want them to look. We'll follow up that with phones and devices, then the online configuration and migration. What is the hybrid model of Link 2013 and Office 365? Then we'll touch on monitoring and finish up the day with voice resiliency features and a survivable branch server installation demo and configuration. So with that, we've got a lot of information packed into just a few couple of days. And as such, we are anticipating and expect that the people that are on this presentation are experienced, looking for information to get the 337 past, but more importantly, that they've actually used Link in the past, similar to 336. We'll be making a lot of references to how it was versus how it is, and not necessarily going in depth on things that haven't changed, simply stating that it's the same. And so if you are not familiar with Link Server 2010, you'll be at a small I don't know.
Disadvantage?
Disadvantage is a good word. Small disadvantage into how things work and don't work. Because we're not necessarily going into everything, just things that have been changed and how things work when they've changed and the new features and things of that nature. Like any jumpstart, we recommend for further development and for further learning to go ahead and find yourself an authorized Microsoft Training Center and there get the training. This is a subset course of the 7337 training. So again, we're just compacting everything we can into these nice 2 days worth of training. And if it works for you, that's great. If you need more information, that's where the training courses are there for you. It's also this course, as well as the last course, are two of the prereqs for the MCSC communications. So we're doing this through Microsoft Virtual Academy. Virtual Academy is an online academy that is designed for you to take courses, training, little tests at the end, see how things are going. It should all be up to date and relevant, as it's ad hocly just being grown and changed as we have new products coming out. It's a great place to get new information really quick and see the inner workings of products. We also are going to get 50 MVA points for this event. Yay, all right. 50 points. That, again, is similar to your concepts of your gamer points on Xbox. Well, now you can get them for your MVA as well. There is a link code, Link337, that does expire as well on July 1st of this year. Okay, so let's kick this off. All that being said, we're going to start with voice architecture. Again, this is a fairly light overview of the voice architecture, what we went over in 336, but we're going to talk once again about, as a reminder, what the architecture is and the roles, the various features that exist, and then the various site topologies that are supported. There are site topologies that are not supported, and again, supportability within the Microsoft realm of things is tested and known to work versus not necessarily. It doesn't mean it isn't going to work, it just means it's not tested to be known to be working. Okay? So, the Enterprise Edition and its roles. When we look at the Enterprise Edition, we get to see that there's a lot of communication that is in the new reference topology that references Office 365. We have the hybrid model. We still have the federated networks and the public providers. You'll notice Skype's logo has replaced the MSN logo. That's all done and official now. The PSTN communication. We'll also notice that the PSTN is optional, but from the front-end servers down to the mediation servers, that has a dotted line to the gateways. So it can talk directly to the gateway can talk to it. It can also potentially talk directly out to the PSTN network, something that's new and different within the Microsoft world of Link 2013. In previous versions, we always had to sit behind something if we were going to be talking. Now we can be the front-end runner.
And why is that? Because it's got the mediation server on there?
No, it's because we have the ability to take trunking and do inter-site trunking so we can receive calls on our forward or receive calls for a foreign network and forward the calls. We couldn't do that in 2010. So, if we're looking at the server roles, the ones highlighted in red are the ones that are important to us from a voice perspective. So, again, standard and front end, they exist because they hold the dial plans minimally. They could have the mediation server role on them as well, but they will always have the dial plans and the call flow and the logic. The mediation server is the role that will transcode, take the information from a G711 communication to the outside, from the inside, as we need or do not need that to happen. And then the edge server is bridging communications for external clients, like media, mobile clients, or any other type of information that's coming from the outside, outside of our network, that is. So that's very high overview of the physical architecture. From a features perspective, this gets into what Rui was questioning before, was the inner trunk routing and how that works. We had some enterprise voice changes. Of course, we have the new inner working routing. That's a big deal from a configuration perspective. We had the ability to do so in 2010 by using DNS, as long as we weren't DNT, or DNS host records on local machines, as long as we weren't doing TLS. With the changes in 2013, we more easily support communications to multiple pools all from the same servers. So it's no longer a back door configuration that we're doing. It's actually natively part of it. The mediation server has some changes and additions and the ability to work faster, smarter, better. And then the SBS. Nothing's really changed there, but it's pointed out that it's part of the new architecture. So disaster recovery in the voice realm is some changes and some new. So from a voice failure, we've always had high availability and resilience from a voice perspective since 2010. So in the event that your voice network were to die, your pool that you're on, we had the ability to have resiliency and pair it to another pool. More so today, because we have the ability to pair a pool and get more information from a failover to the point where it doesn't even look like you failed, like we saw in our DR lab in 336, we have the ability to take that information and be really a fully functional client, even in the event of a failure. So that was a big change for DR. It impacts voice only from a user's contact list information and be able to make calls and make things seem logical from their perspective. From an E911 has changed outside of Lake. So there's not a lot that's changed from an LIS perspective and from an emergency services perspective, but there are new vendors coming online that are supporting natively the integration into Lake. So it's a big deal that people are jumping on and joining the Microsoft bandwagon. Routing is different. Routing, we have the M2N. So again, we can have a single pool can talk to multiple servers as well as PBXs and or gateways, there we go, voice gateways, or they can have multiple gateways can talk to the same server. Yeah, so it's this crisscross. We'll see the picture and it'll make much more sense, but you basically have multiple to multiple, and that's something that we didn't have before. And we'll actually go through like we did previously, where we see where things used to be. And that's the next slide, so we won't waste much time there. Okay, so response groups. Response groups have not changed a lot. The big change in response groups was the ability to have managers, something that's been requested a lot, being able to delegate the management and control. We'll see some interesting caveats with the management of those various groups when we get into it in the demo. So that'll be part of our feature demo. Call management, the ability to have calls flow in and out of Link, which we've talked about. Voice in the cloud is a deprecated feature, and so we won't get much into voice in the cloud conceptually. There is a discussion point still on the information that we have versus reality. Things have changed since the release of this particular deck and the original exam. The exam I took had Link to Phone on it. It also had hybrid voice on it. That should be changing. That the deck has changed. So if you take this class today, there is new information from Microsoft Learning on what is being presented. But I'm not 100% sure that the exam itself has changed. So suffice it to say, features that were on the planned roadmap are no longer on the planned roadmap. Anyway, we'll move along on that. Virtual desktops. Virtual desktops affect enterprise voice on how and what they are. We don't get really into the VDI stuff. We touched on VDI in 336, but it's noted, as well as IPv6 support for most all communications. Some of the exceptions would be your LIS information, anything in call and mission control, things that are in that networking stack, because that's IPv4 configuration. Okay. So here's where we get into that inter-network routing stuff that we were talking about, and hopefully the picture makes much more sense than I did. So recently I was setting up a 2007 R2 lab, preparing some testing for a client, and as I set it up, I forgot, oh yeah, I need to set up an actual mediation server all separate, because it was not part of the actual front-end server as it is in 2010 and 13. So in 2007 R2, you could have a single server that could talk outbound from a routing perspective, and that route could come right back in through that perspective. So we didn't have the ability to really make super complex or redundant. Redundancy and a high availability was accomplished by having multiple servers in order to make this happen. And you see in Europe, we're on this diagram, there's two servers, two different gateways, and that's how we're making the redundancy in Europe. In the United States, it's one in the 2007 R2 world. In Link Server 2010, we did much better in that the gateways themselves could talk to the Link server, and the Link server could then talk to various endpoints as well, but they couldn't be the same endpoint and the same server combination. We'd get an error if we tried to do a configuration and topology builder and build things with the same names. We'd have name conflicts. Again, we got around that by doing local host files, send it to the IP, or making a DNS entry that we, if we supported the namespace we were making these changes for, and off we'd go. And we fix all of that when we get to 2013, as we see there's trunks, the concepts of a trunk instead of a gateway. The trunks are tied, and we see a single server tied to a trunk in Europe, as well as, and I assume that's Germany, DE, as well as LAX or Los Angeles in the United States. And that one server then talks to two different PBXs. That one of those PBXs talks to another front end. It's just intertwining and interrouting. We just talk to who we need to talk to, and there's no longer a limitation on that, giving us a lot of flexibility and fixing one of the key configuration issues we had with Cisco integration. So, the mediation server. This is not something that's too big or deep, but the concept here is that a mediation server is required to talk to the outside world if we're going to be talking to a PSTN gateway. There's a couple of guidelines. There's still the requirement that if you're going to be talking to an internet SIP trunking provider, that the mediation server is not supported co-located. It must be separate. If it is co-located, the assumption is that you're using media bypass for the majority of the calls. If that's not true, you very well may want to still have the mediation server be its own outside world. Okay.
So I think the big point here, Brian, is the mediation server is a back-to-back user agent, right? So it translates from SIP and SRTP over to the protocols that the gateway uses.
Right, which, again, the Link mediation server can talk TCP, G711. That's it on its one side. On the receiving side, the client side, that depends. We can talk G711 directly. We can talk G720. Let's see. 722, RT audio, we can do Siren, we can do all kinds of codecs on the one side, but on the communication side on the back, all we're talking is G711. That's how it works. So that's what his idea is. Okay, inter-trunk routing. Now, inter-trunk routing is a very much welcomed addition to the whole Link server communications and enterprise voice setup. Prior to this, it was always required if we were going to have calls coming. If Link basically could not be the egress and ingress point for all communications if we had additional PBXs or third-party communications. So if you think about a call coming in from a third-party PBX and it wanted to go out Link in 2010, that was not possible unless we made contact objects for every single number that was going to be calling and knowing who you're calling, and that's just not going to happen for most businesses. 2013, we take that away. We now have inter-trunk routing, which allows a call to come in from a trunk and potentially go out that same trunk. So let's say we have a call that comes in from a PBX, and we decide that we want that PBX to go directly out our Link 2013 to our internet SIP trunk provider, it can use that trunk. In my lab environment, I have an OCS 2007 R2 now, a couple of 2010 and a couple of 2013s. All of their communication actually routes to production Link as a trunk, SIP trunk that's been used, and they can either call themselves or they can call external numbers. Technically, they could call production as well. We don't really do it for that. But it allows Link to be a media gateway from a functionality perspective. And that's all done because of this new inter-trunk routing configuration and support. So it allows us to change the entire architecture of deploying where we don't have to have Link in the middle. We can set them at the front and then tear things off at the back. Okay. Survivable branch sites. Nothing's really changed here. It is the registrar and a mediation server role on a server. When we run setup, if we do an SBS and specify it as such, that's all that's installed. It allows us to have voice service resiliency on locations where the other functionalities and features of Link aren't as important, but more important is inbound outbound calling and the ability to sign into Link. So if the WAN link goes down between you and your remote site and the corporate site or the data center or wherever Link happens to be, you won't have the functionality of majority of Link, but you will be able to make a call. PSTN calls will route in and out. And you can also, if you have an edge server, do some on that physical site, do some rerouting and things of that nature. But the SBS is a smaller footprint, smaller platform, specific to branch sites. That's what it's designed for site resiliency. If you buy an SBA, it's built by partners. That's an all-in-one box. Typically, it's a box with two heads in it. One head is the gateway itself. On the other side is the integration of Windows with this communication software put on it, so Link's on it. It's controlled, managed, patched by that vendor. Simple to deploy, simple to configure, easy to add that additional investment. Okay, site topologies. Now, site topologies are, they are concepts for Microsoft on how things can be configured. They're also concepts of where to start. It's not necessarily going to be the topology that you're going to be deploying at all. However, what we're going to see here is four different configurations, one of them being really a reference only. It's not truly a topology. That's why it's just no branch office integration. Then we see the small, medium, large. So let's start with the no branch. The concept here, and it's not atypical to not have this communication when we're starting a deployment or if something's in a pilot perspective, a POC, we'll have a central site that has a link. Now, it could be a standard edition, could be an enterprise edition pool with one or more servers in it. It really doesn't matter. It's just the communication here is the central site has communications. The remote site doesn't even have a WAN communication. All they have is a phone. So when we want to call this office, we're calling over the PSTN network. Everything is separate. Link isn't involved in this. Branch site is simply, could be someone's home office for that matter. It's just conceptually part of the company, but not on the network of the company. So when we say no branch office integration, that's what we're referring to there, where you have a branch, but it's not integrated into the network. The small organization topology, it leverages the SBA and the SBS. Now, it doesn't have to be this way. In fact, we've had deployments that have been high profile deployments. Maybe we have an office of 10 people, but it's the executive offices of a company, and they are going to actually have an enterprise pool, and they have servers that are on site and dedicated IT staff, and things are crazy, but it's the way corporate America works, right? So if that's the case, great. All we're saying here is conceptually, you have a central site, and then we have a branch site. The branch site is someone with people, with a network. We see a WAN communication within it. We don't have a PSTN egress point there, or we do. That's really up to you. If we're going to have a small branch appliance or a server, typically we're going to have a PSTN egress and ingress point so that it works. Otherwise, we don't have it. Really, there's no value to the SBS and SBA because if the WAN link goes down, voice services go down. But not required. It's also not required to have an SBA or an SBS there when we have these small sites, and we'll see that as well, where they're just communicating everything over their WAN link because of either the number of people or the priority of the employees that are there or cost. It's just cost prohibitive to do something for that particular site, and it's not mission critical. Of course, we have to have a central site. In this diagram, we show a single PSTN gateway, and so we're showing that communications for all calls, even though we have an SBA or SBS at the site, are still going out the PSTN gateway. Again, not typical if we're going to have an SBA or SBS, but nonetheless, all voice-related services are going through the central site. Very still simple, not overly complex, easy to deploy. And when we have a single PSTN egress point, it makes our life, when it's consolidated, that much easier to configure because nothing happens, right? There's all calls are going one way or not. There's not any sort of least cost routing we need to figure out. Where can calls go, when they're going to go out, where should they go? Well, they only go one place, so it's simple to do.
So, Brian, what's the fallback with that? I mean, what's the drawback with that configuration? If you have a single PSTN egress, then...
Well, again, there really is no point to have an SBA or an SBS at the local site if this is the point, because all the SBA and SBS are doing granted registration services, yes, but would be the ability to have the communication in the event of a WAN failure go out their own SBA or SBS. It doesn't also show on this particular picture an internet pipe, so we don't even have an egg server or any way to get out from this environment. So there really is a limitation to high availability and resiliency in this scenario, but its simplicity and low cost is the key to this topology. All right, in a medium topology, we have what would be considered, what I would consider the real reason you put an SBA or SBS, and you see a PSTN gateway, or actually egress, ingress point, is at each branch site. This allows the WAN link to supply services for advanced link services, such as all of your conferencing, all of your data sharing, all of anything that has to do, anything that has to do with conferencing, as well as stuff like response groups, called Park, any of our application level services. That's all going to be hosted on the central site, but to make local calls go out that branch, that happens because we have a PSTN gateway. Again, simple to do. I would call this a small to medium organization. In the reference topologies, it's considered a medium, but in reality, this is how majority of people make things work if they're going to deploy SBAs and or SBSs. Okay. Any questions in the queues or anything we need to discuss?
I can't connect, so it's a little hard.
Well, then excellent. So we're going to keep moving along. The large. The large is the concept of our reference topology of how voice features are managed and unmanaged. And here we see multiple central sites. We see small branch sites that are coming off. Everything's WAN. We have the paired front end pool, which means we're going to get the advantage of if central site on the left goes down here, that we're going to have the central site on the right that's going to go ahead and pick up those services. The people that are hanging off the one central site leverage the entire advantage. It really depends. Depends on how it's configured and how things are brought in. But the real advantage of the large organization topology is should this WAN link go down, and that would be this one, everybody in this central site and this central site still have full functionalities unto themselves. They may not have functionality as far as communications to one another, although they could go PSTN to PSTN at the point, because again, they have full functionality, so that would be a drawing, you know, along this wire. Let's bring this out and do it this way. So this communication could potentially exist. We also have the option of if it's not the WAN link that goes down, but the central site goes down, again, that's where our paired pool comes in. We can fail users over to one central site, and now all users are fully up and still have voice resiliency and have their other communication resiliency. So they still have conferencing and things of that nature. All of that comes over. Again, 336 in the disaster recovery module. We went over that and showed that in a demo in a lab.
So, and we'll cover it again as well tomorrow.
Slightly, in the resiliency lab. Yep.
Right.
But again, keep in mind that 337 and these couple of days is focused heavily on enterprise voice and online integration specifically. So we don't get into generalities of the product and how DR works and how things of that nature happen, but instead we get specifically in from a voice view, how does this work? Because enterprise voice is important to Microsoft. So. Okay. And with that, since we don't have any questions, then we're going to go ahead and conclude this module. We're going to take a short 10-minute break, and then we'll be back. We're going to follow up with Rui speaking on
configuring basic enterprise voice functionality.
So we will see everybody back at 10. Thanks.